Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text number 5. Nahi kaschid kshanamapi.
Nahi kaschid kshanamapi.
Jatu tishyatya karma krit. Kardiyate yavashat karma. Sarvak prakriti jayar gunaihi. Nahi kaschit kshanavapi. Jatu tishyatya karma krit. Kāryate yavashat karma. Sarva prakriti jayar gunaihi. Na nor he certainly kaschit anyone kshanam, even a moment, api, also, jatu, even, tishtati, stands.
Maybe that could be turned down once.
It's actually on one speed.
Okay, can't be adjusted. Okay, leave it. A karma krit. Without doing something. Karyate. Forced to work. He certainly. Avashaha. Helplessly. Karma. Work. Sarvaha.
Everything.
Prakriti jahi, out of the modes of material nature. Gunahi, by the qualities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. All men are forced to act helplessly, according to the impulses born of the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. Purport. It is not a question of embodied life, but it is the nature of the soul to be always active. Without the presence of the spirit soul, the material body cannot move. The body is only a dead vehicle to be worked by the spirit soul, which is always active and cannot stop even for a moment. As such, the spirit soul has to be engaged in the good work of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it will be engaged in occupations dictated by illusory energy. In contact with material energy, the spirit soul acquires material modes. And to purify the soul from such affinities, it is necessary to engage in the prescribed duties enjoined in the Shastras. But if the soul is engaged in his natural function of Krishna consciousness, whatever he is able to do is good for him. The Srimad Bhagavatam affirms this. Chaktva svadharmam charanam bhujam harer Bhajan apakvota patin tatoyadi yatra phava badrava bud amushya kim kovarta apto bhajatam svadharmataha. If someone takes to Krishna consciousness, even though he may not follow the prescribed duties in the Shastras, nor execute the devotional service properly, and even though he may fall down from the standard, there is no loss or evil for him. But if he carries out all the injunctions for purification in the Shastras, what does it avail him if he's not Krishna conscious? So the purificatory process is necessary for reaching this point of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, sannyas, or any purificatory process, is to help reach the ultimate goal of becoming Krishna conscious, without which everything is considered a failure. So, the basic argument here is that you have to do something. You cannot remain inactive. But that in itself doesn't mean you have to act in Krishna consciousness, it just means you have to do something. And why should you choose the activities of Krishna consciousness, the results of which are not obvious, over something where you can see more clear, more concrete results? The one Mayavadi sannyasi argued, why worship Tulsi? Why bother to grow Tulsi in your backyard? Grow an eggplant. Because at least you can make a vegetable, a sabji out of it. Something useful. What's the use of the Tulsi? Some unseen esoteric result of offering it to Vishnu. So devotional service doesn't have obvious results. Why should we do that instead of something more practical? Okay, agreed, we have to do something. Well, why this? Prabhupada explains in the beginning of the purport that it's not that the material body is active. If you leave the body without a soul, you see a dead body, what is it doing? Only thing it does is rot. But that's not its own action, that's the action of the creatures that are eating that body, the microbes, bacteria, fungus, and other creatures that are devouring that dead body. The dead body itself does nothing. It's only the spirit soul that is active. So, we have to distinguish the activities of the body and the activity of the soul. And let us, since it's the soul that is the real active agent, why are we not performing the activities of the soul? Why are we only concerned about the bodily functions? It makes more sense, if we think it out properly, that we should pay attention to the proper function of the soul. The term dharma is there. Dharma can be understood as duty, or taking it more generally, the proper functional quality of a thing that makes it special, which cannot be separated from the thing. By that definition, fire also has a dharma. The element fire, physical element fire. Fire, the functional natural quality of fire, we can say two things, it gives heat and it gives light. This is the dharma of the fire. You cannot remove, as long if it remains fire, unless you transform it by some, you know, nuclear reaction, by some nuclear fission or fusion, change the fire into some other substance, it will not lose its qualities of the capacity to give heat and light. You can hide those qualities. According to the Shastric understanding of the Vaisheshika Darshana, fire is dormant within wood. There is fire in the wood. It's not just prithivi, but prithivi mixed with fire makes wood. And evidence is that if I touch the fire with the wood with fire, the fire inside the wood will be awakened. In other words, I can ignite, I can burn the wood. I can't burn in the same way a piece of aluminum. I think to make aluminum catch fire, you have to raise it to many thousands of degrees. But wood is easily ignited. The fire is there inside, sleeping. So the capacity to give fire and heat, to give rather heat and light, is not lost. It's just dormant in the wood, in the fire that's inside the wood. It is what we can call covered, or the proper term is vikrita, distorted, so that it's dysfunctional. Similarly, the soul, the jiva, the living being, has its dharma, its proper functional quality. Jivar Swarupai Nitya Krishna Das. The proper function of the soul is to serve God, eternal servant of God. That can be forgotten, but it cannot be lost. The fallen conditioned souls are forgetting that they're servants of God, but still they're servants. They're just disobedient servants. Still, under the law of God, they're His servants. They're just not acting as His servants. So their dharma is not lost, it is only dormant, asleep. That is the proper activity of the soul. It's the soul, not the body, that's actually the active agent. And the real activity of the soul is the service of God. Philosophical understanding. This is not religion. This is philosophy. Therefore, on a logical basis, we should decide that our business is to serve God. We want to live a natural life. We should perform our natural function. Unless you want to live unnaturally and suffer disease and discomfort and mental distress, which are all results of living unnaturally. If you don't want that, then you should perform your proper function. Service of Krishna. Even if you neglect all your other concepts of duty, chaktva svadharmam, you may have the duty, because of your caste, your jati, you have a certain duty. You have a certain duty to your family. You have certain other duties to your country. And so on. Even if you abandon all those duties for the sake of performing the higher duty of service to God, not that you necessarily have to abandon, but if there isn't a conflict, then you should choose the service of God. Chaktva svadharmam bhajana apakvo tapate tato yadi. One may not be hesitant to take this risk. If I have to leave my family, leave my job, to become a Vaishnav, what if I fail at being a Vaishnav? What if I'm not up to the standard? What if I don't have the capacity of discipline? Then what happens to me? That's what Arjuna asked. Kachid, what is it? The verse before, but Kachid Nobaya Vibrashta Chinna Brahma Nashyati. What happens to the yogi who's unsuccessful? He's not successful in his spiritual life or in his material life. He's given up his material life and then he fails in his spiritual life. Then isn't he like a cloud being blown by the wind with no place to stay? Krishna says no. Or who is speaking here? This is 1.5.17. This is in the same chapter that we're reading in the Bhagavatam class. Narada Muni instructing Vyasadeva. Even if a man fails in his risky attempt at giving up whatever is necessary to take to the service of the Supreme Lord, even if he fails at that attempt, what loss is there for him? Kwa va abhadram abhuda musya. What loss in the long run, when you add it all up, it's still a positive result. Even if you do a little service and then you stop because you don't have the strength to continue, and you've lost the opportunities of your spiritual life, and you haven't taken full advantage of your spiritual life, still, even a little bit of performance is for your good, and there's no great loss. That's what Narada is telling, yes. Kim vo artha, ko varta apto. But what is achieved? Abhajatam, swadharmata. You stick to all your preconceived ideas of what your duty is, but you fail to do any service to the Supreme Lord. What do you gain? Nothing. Nothing substantial. Therefore, this is the beginning of the Gita, or close to the beginning. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will re-emphasize the same idea. Sarva dharmad parityajya mamekam sharanam vaja. You give up all your ideas of what you think your duties are, and just surrender to me. Let me dictate, Krishna says, let me dictate to you what to do and what not to do. I'll tell you when you should give up your dharma. Arjuna, I want you to do your dharma as a kshatriya. Don't give it up. That's what it means to surrender to me. If I say do your duty, do it. If I say give up your duty, renounce it. That is surrender. So Arjuna and his brothers, even though they were grihasthas, not sannyasis, even though they were kshatriyas, not brahmanas, they were very dear devotees, and they gave Krishna great satisfaction, because they were ready to do whatever Krishna needed. Yudhishthira and his brothers were ready to accept the rulership of the whole world and all the troubles that such a political involvement entailed, because Krishna wanted them to. But when Krishna's pastimes were finished, and in his 125th year, Krishna finally decided to leave this world. When the Pandavas heard about this, Yudhishthira decided immediately, this is the indication, this is a sign from Krishna that he wants us to leave also. He immediately took off his royal ornaments and his fine silk cloth, and he prepared himself to leave this world. And followed by his brothers and their wife Draupadi, they simply walked toward the north with the intention of walking in this auspicious direction until their bodies just fell dead. Because as soon as Krishna showed that he wanted them to renounce everything, they were ready to renounce in 1 minute. Ready to accept the whole world, which includes all sense gratification and all facilities for power and enjoyment. They were ready to accept that when Krishna wanted them to accept it, and they were ready to switch in 1 minute to renunciation. That is real devotion. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. You just depend on me, and then you don't have any doubt about what to do and what not to do. Then you won't have to ask such questions as Arjuna asked at the beginning of this chapter. Am I supposed to be active or inactive? Krishna says, hey, you can't be inactive anyway. You have to do something. And you should find out from me what to do. I will tell you what to do and what not to do. Of course, in Arjuna's case, and in the Pandavas' case, they were able to get instruction directly from Krishna. But to get instruction from Krishna's authorized representative is just as good. In fact, it pleases Krishna more. If we demand that we can only serve Krishna directly and we won't serve his devotees, then Krishna is not satisfied with us. He won't recognize us. According to the sages who spoke to King Nimi Maharaj, the Yogindras, it was Karabhajana Muni who said this, that a devotee who has, one who is serious about serving the deity of Krishna, but doesn't have respect for Krishna's devotees and for other people, he's a materialistic devotee, lowest category of Vaishnav. Archayam eva haraye pujam yakshwaraye hate nad tad bhakteshu chan yeshu sab bhakta prakrita smritaha. So, if we want to please Krishna, We should not demand that we can only serve Him directly and we only take our instructions directly from Krishna. But we should have faith in His devotees and take our instructions from them. Because they're Krishna's devotees. If God is God, then why can't He empower His devotees to act as His representatives? In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, the way to think is to think yourself dasa da, gopi bar tur para kamala yor dasa dasa nu dasaha. We should think ourselves, yes, we want to follow in the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan, but we shouldn't pretend that we are gopis. We should want to follow in the footsteps of the servants, of the servants, of the servants, as many times he's moved as possible, of those gopis. This is the value of being situated in parampara. This pleases Krishna. When we accept, through the parampara, his devotional service, that means indirectly, through the line of disciplic succession, rather than expecting that we can go to Krishna directly. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was preaching all over India, he would meet many people who claimed to be Vaishnavas. He would always ask them one question: under whose direction are you trying to practice the service of Krishna? And if the person said, I'm just doing it on my own, I'm just following my own initiative, then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would not take that person seriously. He first wanted to know, who are you following? Through whose authority are you trying to serve Krishna? Under whose guidance? You cannot be so audacious to presume you could approach Krishna directly. Always through his representatives. Because that's what pleases Krishna. Anyway, all these activities of renunciation and any other purificatory activity is actually meant to reach the ultimate goal, this ultimate goal of becoming Krishna conscious. That's what Prabhupada finally points out in the purport. And the next verses, here he's making a point, you have to work. So now the natural question is, okay, I have to do something. What should I do and how should I do it? Is the next question to be answered. And Krishna will spend the rest of this chapter, third chapter, explaining that to Arjuna. What kind of work should be done? And what is the proper consciousness in which to do such work? That will be explained in the next verses. Okay, Hare Krishna. Do we have any questions or comments?
Actually, yes. The soul is qualitatively the same as Krishna.
Yes.
Not quantitatively.
Yes.
But then why does the soul get contaminated? I mean, it's mentioned that the soul is contaminated and hence the soul has to undergo a purificatory process.
Well, because just like you may have a large body of water, a big tank, I can put some soap on top, in the water, it will not cause the entire tank to change its shape. But it can catch one small drop of water and envelop it in a membrane of soap. So the small particle of a large hole can be infected because of its small size, can be affected by another agent, a powerful agent, in such a way that the big one, the big original, cannot be affected. The Supreme Lord cannot be affected, cannot come under the influence of the material energy, mainly because it's His energy. He's in absolute control of Maya. There's no way Maya can control Him. He's in all ways, under all conditions, in control of Maya. But we are not. This is the difference. Beside being small, what that also involves is that we are not the controllers of Krishna's energies. We have very small energies that are granted to us. Very small amount of small energies. You know, we can wiggle our fingers and move our legs, and we can flap our tongue and do a few other things. We can digest some food, but not too much. You know, Everything we try to do, our capacity is so limited. If we go a little bit beyond our capacity, we get sick or incapacitated. You can eat, but if you try to eat more than 2 liters, your eating capacity will be spoiled. Overeat, you can't eat anymore.
But that is the quantitative aspect. I'm talking of the qualitative.
Well, but the quantity does make a mistake. It doesn't make a difference. And there is this one qualitative difference, is that we are not the controllers of Krishna's energies. The Maya energy is under Krishna's control and has the power to control us. You know, so the relationship with Maya is different. That qualitative difference is there. God is absolute controller of his energies, and we are controlled for the most part by his energies. We're allowed a little bit of control, but it's insignificant. Mostly we're controlled. That is a qualitative difference. And adding to that, the fact that we're very small makes it easy for Maya, who's bigger than us, and now she's authorized by Krishna to do this, to bring us totally under her control. That's the difference. It's not just being small, but also not being the controller of the energies.
But we have
Krishna can also make himself smaller than us. He's smaller than the smallest. He enters our heart, he enters the atoms. He can become smaller than a jiva, but he's still the absolute controller. That's the difference.
Now we are talking of going back to Godhead, right?
Yes.
Now when we are in the spiritual world, when we are in Golokarman, can we be contaminated in that place? Is it because we got contaminated there that we came here?
Yes,
contamination
begins with making the wrong choice to not accept Krishna as independent, as supreme controller, enjoyer. We can do that anywhere. We have autonomous heart. We can turn away from Krishna.
So that's where the contamination starts.
Yes. We have to reap the fruits of the contamination, we have to come to material world. Anyway, once you have that wrong attitude, you cannot remain in the spiritual world. You have to be kicked out, and then you have to be put someplace. So the place where all the rebellious living entities are sent to, that's by definition the material world. And various arrangements are made to take care of those rebellious living entities. But it can start even in the spiritual world. You can develop that rebellious attitude because you always have the freedom to do so. Okay?
But in the spiritual world, there is no Maya, there is no usually energy over there acting on the jiva.
Right. But there's the jiva's own foolishness. And that makes him a subject of Maya. Then he will be exiled to the domain of Maya. Okay? Hi, Krishna. Yes?
In the same lines as the all the even atonements and all purification processes are very perfectly performed also. A person who is Narayana Parangmukha, who is turned away from Narayana,
yes,
Naiva Shuddhanti, will never be purified.
Never be purified.
Any amount of purification process.
Yes. There may be relative purification. Relative purification can be there. I mean, you know, when you do some samskara, prayaschittam, there is some material benefit. But it's only relative purification. It doesn't really change anything.
There's a nullification of the effect of the sins, whatever you know. There will be a nullification of the effects of the sins.
Only there'll be a transformation. You know, we can change from one mode to the other. By performing prayaschitta and by performing pious activities, material activities, karma kanda activities, you can change yourself from being influenced by tamogun and rajogun to sattvagun. But that's just a different flavor of Maya. It's still Maya. So you have not transcended Maya just by changing from tamogun to sattvagun. Especially since as easily, or even more easily, It's much harder to go from tamogun to sattvagun. To go from sattvagun to rajogun, you can do it in one night. Any Brahmin can go to the wine shop and drink himself drunk and then he's lost his gas. Yeah, you can do it in 10 minutes. You can go from sattvagun to rajogun. But it takes, according to Manusmriti, according to the Karmakanda, if a family is degraded because, say, the Brahmin became a drunkard, his whole family is ruined. They lose their class, caste. It takes 7 lifetimes to recover it, according to Madhu. 7 lifetimes. 7 minutes to lose it, 7 lifetimes to regain it. So all you can do is change. You can raise yourself up to goodness, but you can come back, you can fall back down again much quicker. So nothing substantial is gained. You just change from chocolate to vanilla. It has changed from one flavor of Maya to the other. But there's no freedom from Maya, so there's no real purification. Only those who surrender to me can actually transcend Maya. Yes?
The degree of the mood that Andi enjoys will remain the same. To what degree it's present?
No, it may be elevated. It may be purified. You may think, you may become less of a feverish enjoyer. You may become more sensible in your enjoyment. The man in Sattvagun is less contaminated than the man in Rajogun and the man in Tamogun. But still he's contaminated. There may be a relative improvement, but that relative improvement is not permanent. How can you hold on to it? The modes of nature are changing constantly. You feel good in the morning. By the evening, you're sick. You know, it's constantly changing. Especially we consider one lifetime to the next. I'm in a good position in this lifetime, but what if I don't attain liberation and I make a few bad mistakes in this lifetime? Who knows what my destination will be in the next life? It's like a Ferris wheel. You go up to the top and then you come down again. Chine punye marcha lokam vishanti. Even you become a devata in Swarga Loka, you use up your credits and you have to come back down again. So, no change. Just going around samsara, going around in a circle. Up and down. So there's no, when you consider that you're just going up and down, there's no improvement. Just going around and making no change.
Relative improvement.
Yes. Okay.
But how does one transcend these 3 gunas? Suppose I...
Mam cha yo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaita brahmabhuya kalpate. This is Krishna's formula and there isn't another one. You have to serve Krishna with undeviating devotion. Avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate, serve Krishna, please him. Sagunan samatitya, he goes above these 3 modes. He transcends the 3 modes. And then he becomes situated in transcendental consciousness. There is no other way. Nanya pantha vijyate
yunaya. But is it possible for that devotee to fall back into the mode of goodness and then fall back again?
If he completes the program of becoming a pure devotee, he will not fall down. But you have to attain to prema, pure love. Otherwise, there's a chance of fall down. If you complete half of the course and attain what is called nishta, firm determination, then it's almost guaranteed you will not fall down. There's still some slight chance. So we should at least come to the stage of nishta, then we're almost guaranteed not to fall down. This means to give up our bad habits and become completely convinced of what the real goal of our life is. That's what we should be aiming for. That's a halfway mark. But that's from that point on, we're safe. Very rare that someone will fall down after that.
I have a last question.
Yes.
Suppose, let's say, I get initiated and I follow Guru's instructions to the point.
Yes.
Every point,
yes.
I try my best.
Yes.
Is there a guarantee that I can go back to Godhead? If I follow Guru's instructions specifically to the point without deviating one inch from...
If you do that, then you're already liberated.
I may be liberated, but will I be able to go back to,
yes,
back to God?
Yes, unless you choose not to. Unless you choose for the service of your good to remain here and preach. But you have the option. That's already guaranteed. One who's serving guru, the bona fide guru, Krishna's authorized representative, complete faith and sincerity, he's already liberated. He doesn't have to wait to die. That's just an external formality. He's already free. The problem is to actually do that.